Warning, things are about to get intense. Like when you stare into the eyes of someone that you really like for a full minute straight without blinking. Intense! Intense heat! Lasting plump! From the hot new Lifter Plump from Maybelline, New York. Formulated with chili pepper! Lifter Plump delivers a heated sensation for an instant lip plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades. Honestly, my favorite is hot honey and cocoa zing. I put it on my lips and honestly, it did sizzle them. It sizzled them right to the moon. They were plump and juicy and everyone was like, Nicole, can I? And I'm like, get in line. Can you take the heat? Find your shade at Maybelline.com or a retailer near you. Amazon shoppers get 10% off Lifter Plump purchase with code 10PLUMP for a limited time.
Stay connected this winter with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered internet for just $19.99 per month with all-in pricing for 2 years. But that's not all. Your first month is on us. This deal gets better with a free modem and installation, along with free Wi-Fi your way whole home coverage. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and keep all your devices connected and secured with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires March 3rd, 2024. Learn more at Breezeline.com.
You Date Me, a podcast where me, Nicole Byer, tries to figure out how I'm still single. Even though you can push me down a flight of stairs, I'd still date you. My guest today, you know her from SNL, the movie The House, Casual, Catastrophe, Good Boys, Transparent, Big Mouth, The Unicorn, so many things, Michaela Watkins! Woo! Thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
It's a real treat. Also, you look very nice.
Oh, I do?
Yes.
Guys, if you're just tuning in, I'm wearing a blue jumpsuit mm-hmm. with a denim tinge. Mm-hmm. I've got myself a 1980s tree torn. thank you so much. I was at a political fundraiser, guys. Yeah, that was happening. Katie Hill had her seat ripped away through
that
revenge porn.
It was really crazy.
Yeah.
And I truly didn't fully understand it. So somebody had nude pictures of her.
And her ex-husband.
Released? Oh, her ex-husband did this?
Well, helped the alt-right wing of our political wing assist them of something called Red State, published them. And it's it really is like revenge porn. Like
yes.
Took these pictures that weren't his to take and disseminated them into this site, and the people who had their hands on it and probably paid for it mm-hmm. did so illegally. I mean, I just hope they all really go to jail.
But I don't get why she had to resign, because like everybody gets naked.
I mean, everybody does, but they were putting up posters of naked posters all over her hometown. Like her parents had to be ripping these posters down.
Oh, dang.
Her sister's
That's really
business
awful.
Was getting trolled really bad. It just shows like the difference, like the huge swath of difference between like what happens to men mm-hmm. when they have a transgression and what happens to women.
Yeah, like, women get crucified.
That's
really awful.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, she had to resign and then the other people, they should have gotten in trouble.
And they probably will. I mean, I think that's coming.
Next. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, and they should, you know, they're very, it's just like a new low. You know, I thought we hit all the lows. And then they're just like, no, we have new lows.
Coming on in.
Yeah, we found some more lows for you.
It's very depressing. Mm-hmm. Michaela. You are married.
But I was really, but the upshot is Christy Smith, who's running to take mm-hmm. her seat, is incredible. She's like 20 years older, but she's been doing this a long time. Mm-hmm. And the only way that Katie Hill would step down was if Christy would swoop in and, oh, okay. And try to like maintain that seat blue and with a woman. And she was like, if she promises to run, I would do it. And she agreed to do it. So.
Politics is not fun.
No, it's not fun. And it's really like eaten into my fun. Yeah. It's like it's eating into my health. It's eating uh-huh. into my pocket. It's eating into mm-hmm. my... It's eating into my job because it's like I'm spending all this other time doing that, you know, mm-hmm. when I should be, you know, just gardening or finding some old lady crafts. Oh, my God. You'd appreciate this. I was knitting the other day mm-hmm. and I'm in Ojai a lot. And this woman came in and said, oh, are you a hold on to your hat here. She said, oh, are you a fiber artist?
A fiber artist? I've never heard of a fiber artist.
I know. There's something for everybody.
Are you a fiber artist?
Oh, are you a fiber artist?
Oh, well, actually, I am.
Well, I guess I am now.
Yeah,
before
you're knitting,
I thought I was
you're using
knitting a sweater.
Fibers.
Yeah.
So, Michaela,
yes.
You are married.
I am.
And how long have you been married?
I've been married about 7 years.
And then how long have you been together total?
We met on 10-10-10. So we...
That's cute.
Isn't that cute? And so I guess 9 years ago?
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you guys meet?
We met at a brunch. We met at a brunch at a friend. At I didn't know the guy. Actually, we have a really romantic story if you really want to split hairs on this
I
one.
I do.
Okay. I'm going to just tell you this really fun part. I was always like, I had about 3 years where I was either trying to get out of a relationship or into this relationship or heartbroken from a relationship or heartbroken. Like I was had been engaged mm-hmm. and I kind of blew that up. And then I was like, thought I made a huge mistake. And then I was dating this other guy and it was really, you know, explosive and very volatile, mm-hmm. not like physically volatile, but, you know, like emotionally volatile. And every day we were like, should we break up or go to breakfast? Like it was just, it was really the opposite of what my engagement, like person I was engaged to, which mm-hmm. was very calm, you know, but sort of boring, but lovely. He's a great person. He's my good friend now. But anyway, I come out the other side of 3 years of this like topsy-turvy, didn't know where if I was coming or going. And I decided the one thing I forgot to do was be a slut. Like I was always in relationships that I forgot mm-hmm. that I should probably be a big fat slut. And I mean, even in high school, I had boyfriends. Like mm-hmm. I was sort of a serial monogamous. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to be a slut. And so then somebody said, like, do you want to go to brunch at this? My manager called and said, there's this guy I want you to meet. He's really wonderful. I don't know why, but I just feel like you need to know each other. Mm-hmm. I think you'll work together or something. I don't know what it is. She said, but you can't date because I love him and I love you. If it didn't work out, it'd be really bad for me. And I was like, well, I don't want to date him. But the weird thing is I happened to be reading an article about that guy right at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Josh Radnor. He was a How I Met Your Mother guy. Mm-hmm. And he made a film and I was reading an article. I'm like, that's so weird. I'm just sitting here reading an article about this guy in this movie. Anyway, I don't know him, but I go to his house and that's where I meet my husband. And all my dreams and fantasies, and that not in that moment because it took me a while to sort of come around to dating him because he's a really awesome guy. And I mm-hmm. was like not on the prowl for awesome guys. I was on the prowl for dirty, dirty, filthy guys uh-huh. who are self-centered narcissist guys. That, you know, like one and done guys, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it took me a bit, but I never got to be a slut because I married this guy.
That's so cute,
yeah.
though.
Yeah, not Josh. I met the house, yeah.
But I like that your manager was like, I want you to meet this guy. You're like, fine, I'll meet him. And then you go to his house and then there's another man for you.
And I married him.
Oh, that's so, how long did you date before you got married?
Well, that was like sort of weird because I went out with him and the whole time I'm like, oh, I'm going to be a slut. Like, could I fuck this guy? I could fuck this guy. Like, this seems like a guy you bring home to mom, but I could totally fuck this guy. And because I was, like I said, I wasn't used to dating just good guys. Mm-hmm.
It's very strange when like a dude is actually nice to you. You're like, oh,
Oh, now what do I do with you?
I don't know how to act around you.
I only know how to pine over you or be totally disgusted with you. But yeah, so he was just such a great dude. And I would go out with him, but I was like, I feel like this guy's looking for a wife. And the hilarious thing is all of his friends are like, I don't know what you did, but he was somebody who they thought would never marry. They just
really
he would date people for like 3 months and then kind of move on. And so like he was like sort of just never kind of in these long relationships. I guess he was in a couple, but not like not deep love, big, you know, things. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess I mean, it's so weird how they can smell unavailability on you. They just like seek it out like a heat seeking missile.
Uh-huh. Anytime I meet a man who's fully unavailable, I go, okay, I'm going to try really hard and make him available to me. And that plan honestly has never worked. Not for any length of time.
No.
I've gotten like a dude to be like, okay, well, we can hook up. And I'm like, did it. And then nothing blossoms.
Gee, so strange. but the dudes that are like into you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about them?
I generally don't like people who are interested in me.
Yeah, that's the
thing.
And
I don't know why.
Well, so I was not sort of buying what he was selling, although I was really compelled by him. In fact, my manager said he sounds amazing because he is such an amazing guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I don't know why. I'm just not there. And she goes, he sounds so great. Could I introduce him to somebody? Because I know so many women that would love to date this guy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, but like not yet. Like, can we just put a pin in that? Because I just feels, you know, we've gone out a few times and we've had some really great, you know, dates. Like they haven't, nothing physical has happened, but you know, I just don't think yet, you know? And she said she knew in that moment, she's like, oh, she's not done with him.
Cute.
I just burped in the microphone. But yeah, this story gives me gas. But so the weird thing is that I was kept trying to sleep with this really emotionally unavailable guy. I had met him through another friend.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept wanting to like hook up with this guy so badly, even though I knew he was bad news. But I was like, I was going to be a slut. That was my whole plan. And all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. It just, everything crystallized. Like, I did hook up with him, and I realized, like, this is the most self-centered person I've ever met. And then all of a sudden, it just synthesized, and I just heard myself. I remember I was having sushi with a friend of mine, and I was telling her about, like, sort of the married people love to hear about who you're fucking.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, this guy and that guy. And then all of a sudden, I looked at her, and I go, what am I doing? What am I doing? Like, it just all of a sudden, as I was explaining these men, I realized I was explaining the guy and the feeling and everything that I've always been saying I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw him again, Fred, my husband, we went out, and he looked totally different to me. He looked, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, you're hot. Like, you're smoking hot. Like, you're gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I've been, this has been mine to lose, and I'm about to lose it. Like, so what he said is, I said, you know, I'm so sorry. I've been like thinking that I was going to have a fling and blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, how about this? I'm leaving in 2 months for 4 months. I'm going to go travel the world for 4 months. I'm going to India and Africa. I'm going to go do this. He said, have a fling with me. And I was like, ooh, wait a minute. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a fling for like 2 months, but we fell in love. And then the rest of the story is kind of cute too, because then he came back from India and he's like, I'm done traveling without you.
Oh, and this is so fucking cute.
And so then we went to Africa for a month together. A month.
Oh.
And I made two t-shirts that I gave to him. One said, I did iron-on t-shirts the night before we left. I'm like up at 4 a.m. We're like, okay. And on the last day, I gave him two t-shirts, and one said, I survived a month in Africa with my new girlfriend. And the other one said, I had a so-so time in Africa with this girl I barely know.
Oh,
And I was like, take your pick. And then, like, you know, a few months later, he proposed with the first t-shirt.
Oh, my God, Kayla. This is so fucking cute. I cannot handle this. Oh,
yeah.
What an adorable fucking story. I feel like when people go, oh, the way we met's really cute, it's usually just like, I dropped a cookie and he picked it up and he was like, well, aren't you dropping sweetness?
And you're, he,
like,
called me cookie cute? Dropper for the next 3 years.
Oh, it's so adorable. I really love that. Was it fun traveling together with somebody that you had just kind of only been out with a couple of times?
That was the thing. It was, like, so easy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It turns out he I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. A big joke we had was, I was like, oh, is this where you murder me? Because I just kept feeling like he was so, so wonderful that, like, mm-hmm. every single murder podcast is like, and this is where they murder you, you know? But the other shoe never dropped. And we had a really good time. Of course, I was, like, on my best, you know, dating behavior because we were new, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm a good traveler. I'm a terrible flyer. Terrible, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of that. But we had a good time. And then I just remember, like, I'm like, okay, I can't be this person anymore. I have to be honest. And I was like, is it okay? I don't know what I'm going to do if we stay in one more place. Because we were doing pretty hardcore travel, mm-hmm. you know? I was like, where, like, water comes out of the faucet is like, is that anywhere in our near future? And he was, you know, because we were, like I said, it was tough travel,
mm-hmm.
and especially I can't believe he wanted to do it with this chick that he newly was dating. I mean, it's crazy, but we traveled really well together. But he rerouted for me. He said, okay, we're gonna go to a place that has running water.
Oh.
and we did, and I like finally just felt like a whole new person,
mm-hmm.
and then we could get back to it again. But yeah.
Oh my goodness. what a nice treat of a story.
Yeah.
You said that you were a serial monogamist.
Mm-hmm.
So when's the first time you got a boyfriend?
Well, I've been boy crazy my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I came out of the womb like, are you a doctor? I don't see a ring.
I look for rings so hard now that sometimes I like get self-conscious. I'm like, oh, this person absolutely noticed me
looking
moving my
head
around trying to see their hand. Oh.
And my husband hates wearing his ring because it's like he's just a simple. He likes mm-hmm. simplicity, and he kind of chose a really big clunker for himself. But he might get a tattoo there.
Oh,
and
okay.
I was like, you should just do a tattoo, you know, just so you don't bum anybody out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I remember I was 4 years old. My mom's a teacher. She's a Latin teacher. And she would have these, it was the 70s, but they were called orgies. But it was with her students, and they would just wear togas, and it would be this very, like, not, they wouldn't all be fucking, is my point.
Wait, your mother fucked her students?
No. That's my point. Is like, oh. They were called orgies because that's like the actual.
Okay.
But
I
they
fully
weren't,
got very yeah, confused.
I know. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. I was like, I can't
my
believe
mom
you're just
was
gonna
a real.
Openly be like, oh, yeah, my mom. It was the 70s. Was fucking all of her students.
It was totally fine. Everybody was cool with it. She fucked her students. Her students fucked her. No, my mom. Oh my God! If she's listening to this, her head would fall out of her head. She would grow a head just to have one fall out. No, she's a great teacher, but she would have these things called orgies. It was mm-hmm. like toga parties, and all the students would come, and they would like read these speeches, but in Latin, and you know, and it would be very festive, and they mm-hmm. would drink punch and eat baklava. My mom was eccentric.
Honestly,
it still is.
Sounds
super
like fun.
Super weird. But this one guy came over, and I remember I was four, and my mom was like, I just couldn't stop staring at this one student. He's gorgeous. I mean, he was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom said, Mickey, stop it. My family calls me Mickey. And I said to him, I'm sorry, but you have the most beautiful eyes And my mom was like, Jesus Christ.
And you were four?
Four, yeah. Have you, I mean, were you always boy crazy or was that like a yes. later thing?
Very boy crazy. I can't remember the first boy that I was like, oh my word. Mm-hmm. Or do I? No, I do. So my mom was very good friends with this woman. So her two kids went to the same nursery school as me and my sister. And the way my mom met this woman was I wrapped my arms around her one day. I had mm-hmm. no idea who she was. I'd never met her before, but mm-hmm. she looked like a Barbie doll. And I was like, I love this pretty lady. So I hugged her legs and I looked up at her and I said, I love you very much. And my mother was like, I'm very sorry. And like tried prying me off of this woman. And then they started talking and then they ended up being very good friends. And then her oldest son, oh boy. Oh, he was so pretty. And I'd be so excited to go to their house because I'd be like, ooh, I get to see that pretty boy. But I was younger, so I had to play with his younger brother. And uh-huh. then my older sister got to play with him because he was older. Uh-huh. And I was like, this isn't fair.
Yeah.
I like the older one. The younger one is not as cute.
No.
Ooh, but yeah, I've...
You called him not as cute Pete.
Not as cute Pete. Yeah, I've loved boys for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then in elementary school, every year, there would be a new boy in the class. And I'd be like, ah, this one. I love this one.
I do. That's so funny you say that. That just totally reminded me that it was like sort of almost like a game with myself that mm-hmm. I would walk into a room and scan it for the boy I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere I went. Like scan
I still
the
do that
grocery
now.
Store. So interesting. I mean, I don't. Do that now, which is probably a good thing.
You're happy and you're married.
Yeah, exactly. But I just remember it. Like it was just this thing that it became so subconscious. Like I would just be like, look at the plane, you know, mm-hmm. and be like, you're the one I like. I hope I sit next to you. You know what I mean? Everywhere I went, it was almost like to keep life interesting. You're like, mm-hmm. who do I like here? I would always pick the prettiest boy.
I liked pretty boys. I still like pretty boys. Now I'm learning to like handsome, rugged looking men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I used to love a man who looked like a doll. Like a cherub cheek and a nice bowl cut. I loved a bowl cut growing up.
Oh my God.
Loved a bowl cut.
What?
Yeah.
Where is that from? Who was your first bowl cut?
I don't know, but that little kid in Liar Liar, his haircut is perfect. It's just like a perfect shaggy bowl around his head. And those are the types of boys that I was obsessed with.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I loved it.
Elliot from E.T.
Mm-hmm.
I think because he was like age appropriate for me when E.T. came out, when the movie came out. And so I was like, oh, I like Elliot. Mm-hmm. And then I think he became like the standard for me for all boys. Like I liked brunette boys
mm-hmm.
with little cute little turned up noses. And like that was my thing. Like the more like cute waspy looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
I was always like the more master race, the more I was like in into you. And then all of a sudden, like there's just been such a shift where I just like.
You're like, oh, I can't like this anymore. You look too much like Hitler's youth.
Trump really
I can't
ruined
do
it
this.
For that. Yeah.
There was a movie called Escape to Witch Mountain.
Oh my God.
Not
yes.
the original.
No. Okay.
The remake
oh.
that was on the Disney Channel with mm-hmm. Elizabeth Moss. And I cannot remember the boy's name. But I loved him. He was so hot. And then also Zachary Binks from Hocus Pocus. Oh, he was so cute. Yeah. But I think they all have pretty shaggy hair. Yep. Long shaggy hair. That's what I'm into.
Yeah. I remember I was in Vancouver just recently and I was at the hotel bar. This guy comes in. I was talking emphatically to one of the other women I was working with there in Vancouver and behind her, I was just like, how do I know this guy? How do I know this guy? And it was Elliot from E.T.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was just like so fucking bored because he's like working in Vancouver, was just hoping one of us would be like, hey, dude, you know? And I just am kicking myself because I feel like I had to like close that circle
mm-hmm.
and be like, you're a huge influence on my vagina. But not really because we were. But you, nine, probably.
Yeah,
when I had
but
a crush
still,
on
him. You remember that first time you're like,
not on my vagina, but on my heart, my heart.
On your
place.
Heart.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first boyfriend? How old were you?
Boyfriend? I would say my first real boyfriend, I was in maybe ninth grade. And I went to music camp. Mm-hmm. Do you know from music camp? Yeah. Not to be confused with band camp, but.
What's the difference between band camp and music camp?
Band camp is like they play like band music, you know, like, you know, John Philip Sousa or something like mm-hmm. this. This was a little more like nerdy and highbrow. It was more like concerto, like you had to audition for concerto and things like that. But it was, you know, I was sort of invisible in my hometown. But when I went to music camp, I was like, shit. Like I all of a sudden became hot at music camp, but I was like absolutely totally invisible in my normal school.
And I love just, that one blossoms at music
I
camp.
I did. I don't. It was, I was just like my people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just these other nerdy dorks. And I was like, I think like in 16 Candles when he says he's king of the dipshits. You know, like that's how. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's this guy Josh Greenberg, and he played the drums, and he was such a pretty boy. Mm-hmm. And I instantly was like, you, I love you. And he was shy and kind of quiet and had this really off-kilter sense of humor. And I just put my crosshairs on him. And I was like, I shall be your girlfriend and you shall be my boyfriend. And we will make it so. And he was my boyfriend for so long.
How long?
Years. Like, I think I broke up with him in junior year of high school, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This is actually kind of a crazy story. I think we were each other's. No, I know we were. I don't know if I can out this guy, but let's just say I'll out myself. Like, he was my first. Mm-hmm. And we broke up because, you know, I mean, I was a junior in high school. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was time to expand my horizons. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see him for a long time. And then I went away to college. And when I was in college, I could go for free because my dad's a professor. I could go mm-hmm. through Syracuse University to study abroad. So I went to Italy and I made this really awesome good friend, Carolyn. And Carolyn went to school at Barnard mm-hmm. in New York. And so after college, I was now, it was like just before graduating college, mm-hmm. I went to New York to go visit her. And I said, I don't know why. I have no idea why, but I feel like I'm going to run into my ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And her friend, Robert, was with us. And I said, you know, it's the weirdest thing. He goes to Columbia, which is like, yeah. We're on that. Because I said, I want to see Columbia's campus. I've never mm-hmm. seen Columbia's campus. So we're walking around. I said, I feel like I'm just going to run into this guy. I mean, it's a huge campus and it's a big city. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, it's just, he goes, oh, who? And I said, Josh Greenberg. And he goes, well, there must be like a million Josh Greenbergs mm-hmm. in the world. And I said, he plays the drums and this guy, Robert, is a musician. And he goes, wait, I think I know him. He's in this band. And he goes, Einstein Mind. And then he turns to this little like pillar that has a flyer stapled to it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, this band right here. And he goes, in fact, they're playing, read, tonight. And he goes, right over there. And he points across the street to this bar. Mm-hmm. And we go in and he's on stage playing the fucking drums. And I'm just like, what? And I mean, do you know how many fucking coincidences had to happen?
It was a perfect storm of you just happened to be at the perfect place at the perfect time. Did you get to talk to him?
So I'm standing in the audience and he's playing the drums. And then he kind of looks at me and I kind of wave like, mm-hmm. Hi. And he looks at me like, hi, who's the mm-hmm. weird lady in the audience, you know? And then he kind of misses a beat a little and he just shakes his head and goes, whoa, you know? Mm-hmm. And I hung out afterwards. I was like, hi. He's like, hi. We go to his dorm. We stay up till 6 a.m. talking, mm-hmm. talking. I find out what I had no idea about was our breakup was like really, really huge for him. Like it was mm-hmm. shitty, you know? I mean, I know at that point I had been through some really shitty breakups mm-hmm. now this is like 4 years later. So I was like, oh, I can't believe I was that person for you. I had no idea mm-hmm. because, you know, we just went our separate ways. And then at, you know, the sun's coming up and I'm like, well, should we make out? How do we finish? Like, right? Isn't that what's supposed mm-hmm. to happen? And he's like, nah.
I love it. You were really trying to like make this into this perfect package of a story. Yeah. Should we just like make out?
Yeah.
No.
Nah.
No, don't want to.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Me. Yeah. No, that's
no, that was a
and
stupid
I was like,
idea.
Oh, because it'd be weird. Because it'd be like, so it'd be, yeah, it'd be a lot. It'd probably a lot for, you know. And he's like, no, just.
That's so interesting to think about with breakups that.
Oh, you know what he said?
What?
I said, oh, because it would be sort of like weird and whatever. And he goes, no, I think because it just would not be that weird. And in my mind, I built it up to be this thing that would be weird. And I think it would be kind of underwhelming. Like, okay, cool. Anyway.
That's so funny. But I've never thought of it like some people are fine with a breakup and mm-hmm. then other people are not. Mm-hmm. I always thought it was just like, oh, no, you break up and everyone's just a little upset.
Wait, you thought everybody, you thought in a breakup.
I've never really like broken up with anybody. So like.
Have you had your heart broken?
Meh. I don't know if I've had my heart actually broken.
You've not. If you had to think about it for half a second, you have not had your heart broken.
Yeah, I guess I haven't. Because mm-hmm. I've never dated anyone for longer than like a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And then anytime you, it's either, well now it's like you ghost. Or they're like, I can't date you for X, Y, and Z. And you're like, okay, whatever. And then, like, you're a little sad. And then you just, like, move on.
Yeah.
But then I guess, like, a breakup could really, like, wreck somebody.
Oh, it wrecks. Oh, it wrecks. I just remember being like, you know, I would never kill myself. But, like, if a boulder fell on my house and spared my cats, I'd be okay with that.
we have to take wrecks. A break.
Oh, okay.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors. big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me. Spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply. And we're back.
Oh!
I read an ad for something.
Sold.
So then during college, where did you go to college?
I went to Boston University, but I went through Syracuse to go study abroad. Like I said, I could go for free.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yep.
And did you have relationships throughout college?
I was in this one, yeah. I was in one relationship. Really, this is when I really had my heart broken. This is when I was really just, it was laid out and run over by trucks. I dated this guy that I met when I was a senior in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But we dated my first two years of college. I remember my dad said to me, and my dad's like not the most profound thinker, but he said, wow, when you fall really hard.
Damn.
And I was like, that's true. It's true. Like when I fall super hard. Mm-hmm. And I don't fall easily and I don't fall all the time, but when I do, it's like deep down a well.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning falling in love, like fall for somebody. And so when he also just was like, oh my God, I'm 20 years old. I'm in college. I shouldn't be dating one person, you know, when he did that, sort of had that moment, which was totally understandable. I was sick over him for years. I mean, I dated other people, but nobody measured up in my mind.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like such a protection you have by not having fallen so deeply in love. You know, I just realized like it makes you so vulnerable to like so much pain. Sorry to break it real serious over here on why won't you date me?
No, it's okay. I think it's really interesting hearing people's perspectives on falling in love and breaking up and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Falling in love does scare me because I feel like if I tell someone I love them, then they almost have like a power over me because they know that I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's very scary. I've never said I love you to anybody.
Really?
Mm-mm.
And have you wanted to?
I don't think I've ever been with anyone where I was like, I think I'm actually in love with you. It's like, I like being with you. I love being near you. And I've only had I love you said to me by one person. But I didn't believe them because they would say I love you, but then their actions were not indicative of love.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just like let him say it and
I would just go, yep, okay, thank you.
Wow, that's really smart.
But then also he never was like, so you don't love me? Mm-hmm. So that thought never occurred to him. And that's when I was like, oh yeah, you don't. This is a very like one-sided thing where you say what you want to say to make me feel a certain type of way.
Right.
But yeah, I've never been like actually in love.
I think that's really unique and special. And I'm not going to qualify it as like good or bad. I don't think it's either. Mm-hmm. I just think it's like unique, you know? Either you're incredibly fortified and like you're really protected, you know,
mm-hmm.
or you're just beyond kind of all this. Like there's a lot of frivolity, you know, in young relationships mm-hmm. that maybe your journey or your path isn't to have to live them and know them. Like I have friends who got married at 25 and give me the best advice to me when I was a single woman at 38.
Mm-hmm.
that I've ever heard. And I'm like, you didn't live this. How do you know this? It's like, you just came into the world knowing this. Like I had this friend, Michelle, say to me, she's one of my best friends. And I was so distraught over this breakup, you know, with my ex-fiance. And she said, and it was hard for me because I didn't know why I didn't want to marry him. I just mm-hmm. knew that I didn't. And it made me crazy. And so I went the path of like, kind of vilifying him a little bit in my mind, but that was not, mm-hmm. That wasn't genuine because he's a great guy, you know? So I was like, well, that's kind of writing a story about how he didn't meet my needs, but that's bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. he's great. And he loved me very sweetly and unconditionally, and that's lovely. And then I would write this other story, and I was like, well, that's kind of bullshit too. And she said to me, she goes, you may not know why you aren't with him until you're dating until you fall in love with somebody else, mm-hmm. you know? And that's exactly, like when I met my husband, I was like, oh, there's no way I could have understood why that relationship didn't work until mm-hmm. I was in this one. Why the hell does she know that? Like she's been in a happy marriage for 20 years, you know?
It's just crazy. Easier to see in something mm-hmm. rather than be in something and see what's going on. Like, I feel like when you date people, you're kind of just blind to a lot of things
mm-hmm.
and it's hard for you to like take a step back and go, oh, here's why I feel this way. You just kind of have to like move on from that person. And your friend I think is fully right.
Yeah, she was so right, but she didn't have to like step on every rake and, you know, smash herself in the face to understand that. And now I understand it. And then there was a while where I would give so much advice to women and mm-hmm. all the time, you know, because I felt like I'd really like put myself through the spin cycle on everything because mm-hmm. I'm somebody who has to like hit every step to there's no shortcuts for me emotionally mm-hmm. I've like got to learn everything by doing it and now in my mid to late 40s I am like I don't give advice anymore.
Oh
yeah, because I just sort of go, oh, fucking no.
Yeah.
I don't know what your path is, you know. Mm-hmm. Your path is just gonna be your path. And I do feel like there are some things that people ask me, you know, I offer up. Like
mm-hmm.
when people say to me, how do I meet some, like, you know, I want that kind of a relationship, you know. I just say like, I'll say things like, well, just picture it in your head and like use it to comfort yourself and soothe you and call it in, you know, ask for it.
I like that. It's very close to what my grandmother used to say.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother used to say, baby, if you claim it, it's yours. Meaning if you just keep saying that I want this and I'll have it soon, mm-hmm. like it would come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that. And I've been claiming 2020 is the year I meet someone great. And I don't have to marry that person or be with them for an extended amount of time. I mean, mm-hmm. I would like it to be like more than a couple months.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not my forever person, maybe, or maybe they are. Who knows? I just think that.
Why 2020?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because this year was not good. Mm-hmm. I did not like this year.
Oh, no.
Bad things just kept happening.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Thank you. But 2020, I was like, it's going to be a new year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably maybe not get a new president, but hopefully we do.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything will be nice and fresh.
Right.
So that's just what I've decided.
Oh, I know. So many
and
babies.
And I like even numbers.
You like even numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 10, 10, 10.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I love it.
Thank you.
May it be so. May it be so.
Thank you. I never said this to you because we did, I did an episode of The Unicorn, the show that's on
CBS.
Oh, my God. And
if anybody watches this episode, it's the second episode of our season.
It's
and
very
I
fun.
Said to you when we came in, I said to Nicole, I was like MVP not just guest star, everybody's like, bring her back, you stupid network, you stupid people, bring her back, make her forever. I want to look at her and watch her and listen to her for all the days.
It was truly a treat. What a fun cast. One of the younger actors said something. She was talking about, she went on an audition for something, and she was like, I didn't end up getting it. It went ethnic. And without skipping a beat, you went, you shouldn't say that because that's not how it went. And I can't remember the exact wording you used, but you were like kind and gentle and truly explained inclusion to this girl in a way that like I almost started crying.
Aww.
Because you hear, oh, they went diverse or they went ethnic so many times, and you're like, oh, so we're not valid people of color. We're just like a choice that is arbitrary. And they made that choice because you have to have X amount of diversity. But you truly broke it down in a way where I think she fundamentally understood how that phrase is not helpful and how the system isn't kind to people of color. So, you know, they do try to include them and stuff. It was just the way you really worded it without truly, you didn't skip a beat. And you just said this like eloquent thing that made it digestible for her and then like nice for me to hear. It was really kind, and it really meant a lot.
Oh, that's the I appreciate you saying that.
I don't even remember it.
I mean these are things I think about a lot, you know, and I think that it's important for people to kind of check each other a little bit. So
it was
especially she's young. So I can imagine like I wish people had sort of taught me things about inclusion and about my privilege earlier in my life, because I'm embarrassed, you know, by how blind I've been to that kind of thing. So,
Well, I thank you for it. It was really nice. Okay. You have to go soon. I've been keeping an eye on the time.
Oh.
But I ask all of my guests this, except when I forget, which always happens at the live shows. I always forget something at my live shows. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I'm just so excited and there's an audience. Okay. If you were single, would you date me?
For sure.
Oh, what a treat.
I would. I don't think you'd date me.
I think I would.
I don't know. I don't think I'd be fun enough for you. I mean, I feel like I feel like you're so much. You're just so much fun.
Thank you.
You're just so wonderful. And then you would find out that I'm a fiber artist. No. Then you would find out that I don't really watch television, and like I just like to stare at the birds. And you know, I think you'd be like, ugh. If I bring Michaela out, she's going to start talking about the environment again. I can't.
I don't know. You remind me of my dear, dear friend, Sashir.
Mm.
And we, on paper, don't fit together because we seem so different.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't really watch that much TV. she likes to look at birds and stuff. But like,
I mean, I'm not like a bird watcher. Let's be clear.
No, I know. But like, you just like sit. You're just like, look at them birds. But yeah, we fit together. It's we like to just giggle. And then one of our favorite pastimes is sitting on a couch, not talking and sending memes to each other. It's very fun. And then you like giggle about that. And you like talk about that meme. And then you go back to being dead silent until someone goes, should I go home? Yeah, I think we get along. Yeah, should I go?
I think I'd be just that for you. Like, you would go out and have a really good time out with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you came home, it would be just very cozy. I'd make it real cozy for us.
And I like that.
I'd be like, do you want a tea?
Well, thank you so much. Do you have, what day does the unicorn come on?
It's on Thursdays on CBS at 8:30. And hopefully we're getting your character back soon, because there's a real clamoring for it.
So it was very fun.
Oh, you were wonderful.
Do you have anything else that you want
to
promote?
You were filthy, filthy mouth. We still make jokes about it. I still go like, well, if I were Nicole, I would say. And then I just like unleash a riptide of vulgarities.
Dirty jokes, blue jokes.
I know.
They just make me a special type of happy.
Yeah, they give me tingles.
Yeah, and especially when someone can deliver it in a way where you're like, oh boy, that was offensive, but what a cute little face they have. And I think that's the what I have going on a little bit.
Yes.
I just say an awful thing, but I have a very cherub-like face. Well, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can subscribe on iTunes or something, or you can listen on Spotify. And if you send me a nasty message hitting on me, I will read it. So this Woo! Nice person said, first off, you make my drives fucking amazing, but let's talk. I want to play with my puss till I cream all in your butt cheeks. Then I want to smush your cheeks together and eat your butt like a double stuffed Oreo.
Ooh, specifics.
Very
details.
Specific. People get very detailed. That's Some good. Of them are a little too wild, but this one was fun.
That's a fun one. Also, like, you could, you know, with all that information, you could be like, all right, I could slot you in between, you know, 2:10 and 2:20 p.m. Mm-hmm. That seems like a 20-minute dealio.
Yeah, just a little 20-minute slide in, slide out. Goodbye. Kayla, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.